from Las Vegas and the beautiful Sunset Hotel and Casino. We are broadcasting the UFO Files, and our guest right now is Stephen Bassett, who is no stranger to our audience for sure. Stephen, of course, is promoting the big expat conference in Washington, D.C., actually over in the Maryland suburb, in April, and we'll talk to him about that. Plus, we're going to talk to him in great detail on whether or not disclosure is a good idea. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Stephen, your ex-conference is looking good.
Yes, Jerry, the Exopolitics Expo we're holding in the Washington area, April 16th through 18th, 2004, has continued to develop very, very nicely.
I want to get into a little bit about that, because you have an interesting conference like this one that we're at here. Deals with crash retrieval evidence. You kind of have a focus too, right?
Well, this conference, the Majestic 12 Documents UFO Crash Retrieval Conference, is kind of a precursor to the X Conference, in that what's important about the X Conference is it's not a UFO conference. It's about the governmental interaction with the extraterrestrial related phenomena. It's about the political implications, about the cover up. It's about documents, about military people, it's about presidents, and not about the phenomenology, just tangentially about the phenomenology. No abduction reports, very little sighting reports, if at all, no cattle mutilations, crop circles, that kind of thing. No, this is tailored for the audience in Washington, D.C., for the audience in the East Coast, and the material that we know, and the evidence we have in documents and testimony from people connected with government, is more than enough to confirm the presence of extraterrestrials. So this conference is the first, really, of this magnitude to focus that way. And the Majestic 12 conference is very similar. It focused in pretty much a little more narrow sense, but on that kind of subject matter, which is really where this whole issue is going.
One of the things, Stephen, that I've noticed, and it's kind of an undercurrent here. There have been a couple of radio shows about it, and three or four times in the conference, people have come up, and there seems to be an effort, or at least somebody out there saying they don't want disclosure, which kind of amazes me.
Well, okay. There are reasons that can be made, legitimate reasons, why the truth regarding an extraterrestrial presence, or even just the acknowledgement of that ET presence, may not be a wise idea, and people make those cases. And you can make cases why it is the right course of action. This is a legitimate topic of discussion and debate, no question about it. And from time to time, someone will turn up on radio, television, and they'll go in that direction against the idea of disclosure. As it happens, we had an interesting development recently in that John Lear, who is a very pretty well-known, almost legendary aviator and researcher, who did most all of his work on this subject matter between 85 and 92, son of William Lear, the inventor of the Lear jet, and of course the Lear jet was the jet back in those days, and so it was sold to every important person in the world, and those important people would be coming through the house there where John was growing up, and then John became a pilot, 19,000 flying hours, every certification known. And more importantly, was a contract pilot for the CIA for a number of years, flying in Southeast Asia. So, I mean, this is an interesting man, interesting life, a lot of connections. And in 85, shortly after leaving the CIA contract work, he plunged in, because obviously something triggered it, something, you know, that he had seen, knew, whatever, into the UFO area, and studied it extensively. John went into retirement, or sort of stepped out of the field around 92, because he's kind of burned out. It is a frustrating field. It is not easy. You're up against the most powerful nation in the world's ever seen, and he was doing most of his work before the end of the Cold War. And the Cold War was a huge issue with respect to disclosure. In other words, the government wasn't going to allow it while there was a, quote, Cold War nuclear standoff with the Soviet Union, and he was doing most of his work during that period. So he was pretty burned out by 92. So he went out, and he's been working on gold mines in Nevada and generally enjoying himself, and suddenly he turns up again. And he turns up on the Art Bell show. This is on a Sunday show. And ironically, I had just spoken to John Lear for the first time the night before. We had a two-hour conversation, and the scenario and what happened on the Bell Show really was a repeat of what he and I had talked about the night before. But he had planned this. You could tell this was all planned out. And it was a real simple idea. What John did was, he said, look, I learned a lot when I was researching this. I mean, I'm paraphrasing now, but he knows a lot. A lot of people know that he knows a lot from his work. I come to the conclusion, basically, that I don't think the public can handle this, and here's how I'm going to demonstrate it. And he created basically what amounts to a thought experiment, but it's just a concept where he said, look, Art, if you were taken to Washington, D.C., and you were told by the government that based upon your, you know, who you are and who you know and everything, that they were going to let you be the person to make the decision about disclosure. In other words, they've decided to let you make the call. But first, we're going to tell you the truth. We're going to tell you the story, and then you make the call. And then John ran through what is now called the Lear scenario, and it's been copied and is spreading all over the internet about what. Here's the truth: there was a crash in this year, there was a crash in that year, and the president met an alien in this year, and deals were struck between the government and these aliens, possibly allowing them to do abductions, and there have been human mutilations. And that, in fact, the human race is in the entire the human race development on the planet is an experiment attributed all the way back to ancient ETs, not even around anymore. That we're containers for souls. That there was an implication in the Kennedy assassination, and he went on and on and on and on. It's all pretty wild and provocative. At the end, he says, "Well, would you tell the truth?" Well, Art said, "No. No, I don't think we can tell the public that." And as a matter of fact, Art has been very consistent there. He's taken that position for some time, going back a number of years. That, you know, and he even acknowledged it on the show. He said, you know, a lot of people would think it quite odd that someone who's been hosting a show for all these years that has been bringing on people trying to get the information out on this at the bottom of it, personally doesn't think the public can handle the truth. And that's a fair and appropriate acknowledgement.
Well, basically, what do you think, Stephen?
Well, basically, when I was given the scenario by John Lear, the exact same scenario, he said, what would you do? And I said, absolutely, I'd go public immediately. And, of course, John said, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I made some, and I started to make the reasons for that.
Maybe you could tell us a few of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, but let's make it clear here to your listeners that this issue of disclosure, whether to disclose and how much to disclose, is, even though you may not know it, and even though the media is not paying any attention to it, probably the most important decision the human race has had to make, or any government has had to make, or any small group within a government has had to make since we walked out of the swamps and started hunting for berries and nuts. And this decision has been being kicked around now for a long time, and since the end of the Cold War, much more intensively, both outside in the public arena and inside the government as well. Do we disclose? Now, what is disclosure? First of all, it has a very clear definition in the way I use it and the way just about everyone else uses it now. Disclosure is very narrowly defined. It is the formal acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence engaging our planet by the United States government or some other government, right, and in rapid order, all world governments. It is not the complete truth dump of everything that's ever happened on this subject, right, out into the arena. It is simply the formal acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence. How much we learn after that, how much information we get after that, is really fundamentally a political process that will go on between the government, non-governmental institution, NGOs, and the American people. And how much the American people participate is up to the American people. We're certainly encouraging them to do that, but then ultimately they're going to have to decide. They can also just sit back and say, I don't care whether they tell the truth or not. I'm just going to watch more reality shows and don't bother me. So that's what disclosure is. Now, John Lear confused things a little bit because he wasn't just talking about disclosure, which is the formal acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence. He's talking about disclosure of a broad scenario of information, just a dump onto the public of all that they know and everything else. Okay.
Well, in fairness, part of that would probably start coming out, wouldn't it? I mean, once you start mentioning.
No. There's no question this stuff would start coming out because the public would demand it, okay? But that coming out is still a process that will take a while. It just won't happen overnight. It won't just be on day one, the entire situation. All right, so with that out of the way, I am willing to go further and say that even if the government were to come out tomorrow and give the public the exact scenario that Greer said, I'm fully in favor of it. Now, let me tell you why. Here is the reasoning that was not presented on the show that night, and I have extended an offer to Art Bell and certainly to the program to come on and give the counter-argument to Lear's scenario in terms of disclosure and where the answer would be yes, not no. And there are a couple of points that people have to understand before I give you my reasoning. And it has to do with hearsay, all right? Most people know what hearsay is. Hearsay is something that you don't know for a fact from direct personal experience, but rather somebody told you. And most people know that except under very specific circumstances, hearsay is not allowed in a court of law in a criminal case. So you can't go on the stand and say, well, I don't know if so-and-so killed so-and-so, but somebody told me they did. That's not allowed. All right? Okay. In other words, there's first-hand experiential evidence, and then there's hearsay. And hearsay includes second, third, fourth, and fifth-hand and ad infinitum information. All right. Now, let's be very clear. Everybody in this field of ET UFO research has a considerable amount of what they know is all hearsay. It is, in other words, somebody told me they were taken into a saucer. Somebody said that they heard this at a briefing at the Pentagon. Somebody said that they saw such and such and such and such. So there's a tremendous amount of, everybody's got it, that's all right, because we're not in a criminal case here. We're in a research political activist process. And this is just as true for John Lear as anything else. So what does that mean? It means that a great deal of the scenario that John Lear gave on the Bell Show is not first-hand information from his direct experience, okay? Meaning John Lear didn't sit in on a briefing where, let me get this great now. John Lear did not get directly from the extraterrestrials that we are a human experiment from previous extraterrestrials. He got that from somebody else. He got it from somebody else. And having said that, I'd like to add that, to be perfectly honest, even if you were actually taken to a craft and sat down in a chair and four or five extraterrestrials briefed you on the scenario, the fact is that would be hearsay because it's coming from somebody else. It's not your direct experience. And it wouldn't be permissible in a court of law.
You got a good point there.
Extraterrestrials can lie. Why can't they lie? Of course they can lie. Now, to make this point very clear, if you were taken up into a craft, all right, and you went on the Art Bell Show and said, I was taken up into a craft, that's direct testimony. Okay, now, so what is the point I'm trying to make here? What I'm trying to make is a very simple point. I have every respect for John Lear. Interesting guy. He's done a lot of work. This has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that a good deal of the material that he presented in that scenario is hearsay. It is second, third, and fourth hand information brought to him from various sources that he regards or doesn't regard. There's a high likelihood that part of that scenario is simply wrong, or a lot of that scenario is simply wrong, all right? Or at minimum, most of that or a lot of that scenario is not first hand from Mr. Lear. Now, what does that mean? That means that right out of the get-go, you have a situation where you've just made a decision. Art Bell's just made a decision. No, the public can't have the truth of this when, in fact, the truth is not the truth. In other words, we're saying that based upon a scenario that may be wrong in a highly significant way, we're not going to disclose the presence of the extraterrestrials to the human race. All right? So right away, you're in deep, deep trouble. Because whatever benefits or whatever proper actions or whatever policies that might come from proper disclosure, you've just denied that to the public based upon a scenario that may be in whole or part completely false. Is that the way you want to run the government? All right? So that's point number one. Now, and that's in and of itself, that is enough, all right, to say, wait a minute, you cannot make a disclosure decision in that way.
But since you put it that way, Stephen, it kind of explains why I'm on your side on disclosure, because I really wasn't thinking about disclosing hearsay and all of these stories. I was thinking of some official announcement of what they actually have.
Well, yeah, when we get in disclosure mode and we go into congressional hearings, right, we're not looking for second, third, and fourth hand testimonies. We're going to be bringing forward people that saw a UFO surround a missile and shoot the warhead out with a laser beam. We're going to be bringing forward people that actually talked with an extraterrestrial. They worked on a spacecraft at Area 51. Direct testimony. That's what is going to fill up disclosure, not a pile of second, third hand testimonies, which is, of course, why you have congressional hearings. It's why we have courts, right? It's why you have criminal trials, so that you can get evidence based upon first hand experiences and facts. But we can't have such hearings. We can't have such first hand testimonies because the government won't even acknowledge there is an extraterrestrial presence, which, of course, is what the disclosure event is. However, I will go even further. Now, we don't have enough time to really get into this at great depth in this area. I can always come back, and we'll expand on this in another program. But I'm willing to even go further on your show or the Bell Show or NBC Nightly News. I don't care. I will say that even if John Lear had first-hand personal evidence based upon his discussions with extraterrestrials directly, his discussion with all first-hand principals, that, in fact, that was the scenario, and that scenario was based on first-hand testimony, and I'll even go further, that scenario was, in fact, 100% true, you still disclose to the American people. And then we say, well, whoa, wait a minute now. Okay, now you're saying that people are going to learn that they're an experiment. They're going to learn that the gods of all religion were, in fact, ET inspired, and we've been manipulated genetically, and all this stuff happened, and President Kennedy was killed because he wanted to expose you. You know, all these people. And I'm going to say, yeah, here's why. It's the year 2003, all right? Anybody who's been paying attention knows that in the last 5 or 6 years, the world's gone to hell in a handbasket. We're in deep, deep trouble, all right? There's bad behavior everywhere. We've got environmental problems. We have an expanding population. We have 15 to 20 to 25,000 children dying a day of starvation-related or nutritional-related diseases. We've got nuclear standoffs in Korea, nuclear standoffs over Kashmir. We almost had 7 nuclear wars started during the Cold War. We've got every conceivable kind of abuse of human rights in any number of countries. We've got the fishes, the seas are being fished out, the trees are being cut down. So the first thing I want to say is that whatever untoward behavior that might occur once the people were told the truth about the extraterrestrial reality and their place in the universe, I would say bad behavior relative to what? To how we're behaving today? We're already behaving pretty badly. One would might say that the only way we can go is up. So tell us the truth. Maybe we'll behave better. All right, and that's the first point. Second point is that, you know, you get born into this world, and you only know a couple of things. One day you're going to die, and along the way you're going to have some good times and some bad times, and none of it's guaranteed except that you're going to die. All right? History is replete with all this, real soon. Mainly that, you know, there are no guarantees in life. There are bad times or good times, and you just do the best you can. And this is true of people. It's true of governments. The American system, as it was conceived by the founders, was not designed to be a guarantee to happiness. It was a state that would allow you the right to pursue it. All right? It wasn't a guarantee of life. It was a right to have life. All right? And just because you live in America doesn't mean you're not going to get run over by a bus. All we know is that when you go about things in certain ways, things have the best chance of good outcomes, and if you go about them in others, they have the worst chance of outcomes. That's why governments like Saddam Hussein's Ba'athist Party produces untold misery, and ours tends to produce some prosperity. But there are no guarantees. So what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, is that the one thing we've learned in the last 10,000 years since the flood is this, that when you build policy on the truth, when you structure nation around the truth, when you conduct your personal affairs based on the truth, you will, not always, but in a higher proportional amount of time, get better outcomes than when you build your life on lies, your nation on lies, your governmental policy on lies. Lies, disinformation, misinformation, and propaganda will give you a Ba'athist Party, it will give you a North Korea, it will give you a Soviet Union. Generally speaking, it will not give you a highest realization circumstance. And so ultimately what the insiders are saying is this. We want to make an exception here. We're going to build our national security on lies. We're going to build our policy with respect to extraterrestrials on lies. We're going to misrepresent. We're going to propagandize, disregard the public. And this is going to give us the best possible outcome. There is not a single, I think, example in history in which this is true, right? And we have reached, but there is another dilemma that we face here, sticking with the scenario, and that is this. Half of the American public have already figured it out, and a significant portion of the world's people have already figured it out. The polls of either Reuters or CNN or Time and others have been consistent for years now to the question, are UFOs extraterrestrial? Half the public says yes. To the question, is the government lying to you? 90% of the public says yes. And so at the same time that the public, quote, is being denied the truth of this thing, they've already figured it out. So what does that mean? It means the government is lying, the government is misrepresenting, the public knows it, and the social contract between the United States government and the American people is being shredded. Completely. And so whatever circumstance we envision that's going to work out because we keep this truth hidden, it won't much matter because the country's probably going to be completely up the creek by the time we finally get around to the truth-telling process. In other words, if it was truly a secret, if it had been really kept from us, if we didn't know anything, if UFO meetings weren't taking place and you didn't have hundreds of researchers all over the world pursuing this, if you didn't have documentaries and books coming out by the hundreds, then maybe the keeping that lie might be to our benefit. The fact is, we've already figured it out. So the government looks like an idiot. The Congress looks like idiots. The president looks powerless. And the whole thing has become an absolute farce, a complete nonsensical, emperor hasn't got new clothes farce, which is causing us to lose respect in the government, Europe to lose respect in us. Everybody thinks, what's the matter with these people? And so the fact is, I don't care what the scenario is, the damage of keeping this thing under wraps and playing the charade is now greater than any consequence of any scenario coming forward. The people will, in fact, perform and act far better than anybody can imagine. Religion will do better than we think. And what untoward behavior does happen, I think, will have to be viewed in the context of all the rather untoward behavior that's going on worldwide. And that's my in the short version of my counter-argument to John Lear.
Stephen Bassett, of course, and we are talking to him here in Las Vegas. He's getting ready to get on the red eye and go back to Washington, D.C. You've been there for some time now as a UFO lobbyist, pardon the term.
Well, yeah, I was always called a UFO lobbyist in the early days. I'm a political activist. Some of that activism involves lobbying, not only Congress at times, but also the political media. I am a registered lobbyist. Some of it involves the Political Action Committee, XPAC, which I founded in 1999. Some of it involves events and special projects and so forth, and a lot of it involves helping other groups, and there are a number that are pursuing the truth in this matter. So I'm a political activist, and I'm going to go back and continue to do that. Now, that political activism now has a number of components in my world. One is a suspended project waiting funding called the Citizen Hearing, which is about holding a citizen as opposed to a congressional hearing in which former members of Congress will actually take the testimony of dozens and dozens of government witnesses, and we'll do it in front of cameras. We'll take a whole week to do it, and we'll hold it right in Washington, D.C., and the motto of the Citizen Hearing is the Congress won't do its job, the people will.
You know, we've talked about that before. How is that progressing?
It's simply a website, citizenhearing.org. It's up there, it's fully explained, and I'm waiting for a major funder to come forward and say, I love that idea, let's do it. Now, another major project is a book that I have written and am writing with co-author Grant Cameron. He started the project, Presidential UFOs. The book has a working title, U.S. Presidents and the Politics of Disclosure. We have a powerful New York agent. It's been presented to 25 publishers in New York and is under consideration right now. This book will go places and draw public figures into this phenomena like no other book ever written before. And we are hoping to get a green light on it from the publishers anytime soon. It will get into the Carter studies. It will get into the Clinton Rockefeller Initiative. It will get into a lot of interesting things. And, of course, the major project is the X Conference, the first annual Exopolitical Expo, Exopolitics Expo, for April of next year. Here's the status on that. The marketing began a month ago. Advertisements have been placed in 12 metro area publications, which will run 26 consecutive weeks right up to conference day. There are 300 websites that deal in this area. This interest have been approached to put banners up. 76 have agreed to put banners up with links to the X Conference on their websites. All right. We have 22 committed speakers. We just picked up Robert and Ryan Wood.
They had a very good conference here, by the way.
Who had just held this conference. They are some of the leading experts in the world on the MJ-12 documents, and they'll be talking about that at the conference. We picked up Peter Robbins, I think, who is going to be on your show soon, who has a fascinating story regarding the government, James Forrestal, on this issue. And I've got a couple more aces up my sleeve. The website is up at xconference.com, x-conference.com. We're already receiving registrations. We have 15,000 square feet of conference space, 300-room booking. It will be probably the largest conference on this subject ever held on the East Coast, possibly the largest ever held in the United States, with the exception of the Roswell Festival in 1997. And it has the potential to be an event, not just an entertainment weekend, but an event. And we hope that, and we have speakers coming in from all over the world, by the way, UK, Canada, Australia, Italy. There may be a couple more countries for it.
You're making a concentrated effort to get congressional people there too.
And here's the kicker. Here's the icing on the cake. Last week I sent an expat alert to the entire Congress, letting them know this conference is coming and why they have to attend, either personally as a member of the House and Senate or their staffers. They're going to get five or six more of those. Every presidential candidate is going to be invited to attend, not to speak, to attend. Their campaign managers will be contacted directly. They will receive very public invitations. I encourage them to come. They're making a big mistake if they don't. And 2,000 individual invitations will go out to media both within the United States and overseas. 2,000 individual invitations. And, of course, the local media, over 200 contacts, primarily political press in the Washington area, will be hit dozens of times between now and April. And we're going to make the message of this conference is quite clear, that any member of the press, any member of the United States Senate and House, any staffer of the United States Senate and House, and any member of the government who comes to this conference and listens to the majority of the presentations on Saturday and Sunday, April 17th and 18th, will be able to make an informed judgment on Monday morning regarding the presence of extraterrestrials. And anyone who is open-minded, intelligent, and pays attention will come to a simple conclusion. There is an extraterrestrial presence, and this is a pretty good opportunity for him to figure that out now as opposed to down the line and look foolish.
Steve Ambassador, I'm going to let you go, but there's one final question I want to ask. You've been around the political game for a while. Now you even ran for Congress. Mm-hmm. Politically and realistically, how are they going to admit that they've been covering something up for 50 years?
You know, you've been around for a while, Jerry. How many times in the last 20 years has the government come forward in some form or fashion and admitted to something that they messed up on, covered up, or whatever? We've been hearing these things for the last 20 years. They do it all the time. It's nothing new.
Well, you got a point there. We're kind of just numb to the whole fact.
Yeah. Oops, we did this back at all. Oh, we're sorry about that. Look. The point is that most of the people that were involved in the cover-up, which had significant justifications in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, are dead. They're gone. The people that are involved now, they aren't that responsible. They're just carrying the flame. So consequently, when they disclose, the most of the heat will be on people that are already gone. They're going to get all the benefits, right?
Which is a good reason to do something in Washington.
In other words, the president that discloses this issue to the public will go down in history. They will be talking about this president for 1,000 years. The party of this president will have an enormous legacy. They will have been the captain of the ship at the biggest moment in human history. There will be technologies that might emerge out of this that could change the shape of the world. The focus will be on the United States. There will be profound opportunities in our culture in a lot of ways. And if there's a downside, then the United States will get all the credit for marshaling the world's people to address the alien menace, all 6 billion of us. So the upsides are enormous, not to mention the fact that the government will have this 56-year monkey off its back, won't have to answer 1,000 dumb questions as well as 1,000 FOIA requests endlessly trying to get to the truth, and they can actually move on with running the country. There are plenty of benefits to this. Most of the credit will go to the people that disclose. Most of the anger and frustration will go to people that are already dead. And so, frankly, it's not a big deal. There are issues. There are problems. They're fundamentally a matter of public relations. And as I've told the Congress repeatedly, if they need some public relations help, I'd be happy to help them, and I know a bunch of people that will be happy to join me. So let's just all get together, government, us, the people, and let's solve the problem, get the truth out. It's not that hard.
Stephen Bassett, thanks very much.
Appreciate it.